listening to the Social Media Church Podcast, a place for conversations with church leaders about social media. This is episode number 64, and my name is DJ Chuang. Thank you for tuning in. It's great to be back behind the mic, and I've been in the middle of church conference season and getting to connect with a lot of church leaders in different cities and doing great things for the kingdom of God. And one of my courtesies is to stay offline and not record interviews during those incredible opportunities to really capture some conversations. And I much prefer to record my conversations through the internet or even in person, not in a conference setting, so that people have a little more time to think about what they're going to say and provide some added value to you, the listeners. And I've heard some good feedback to the last episode offline from people I've talked with about how to innovate on $0 budgets. And it's just a very different paradigm, and I hope it has prompted and maybe provoked some different ways of thinking about how we can do things in the digital era that is just unprecedented in the history of mankind. And to give us a little perspective on social media and the revolution that it has brought about in communication, and we as church leaders are definitely in the communication quote-unquote business. And I found this commentary by Dr. Lawrence Terlesesi from Probe Ministries to be particularly insightful about communications and how this social media revolution has opened new opportunities as well as raised new questions about how we use this medium as the message, the issues of disembodiment, privacy, and the difference between dialogue and monologue. Special thanks to Probe Ministries for permission to share with you the entire episode of their audio commentary about the church and the social media revolution. Before and after the audio commentary, you'll hear a brief announcement from Probe Ministries, and then you'll hear the entire article titled The Church and the Social Media Revolution by Dr. Lawrence Terlesesi.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. We've got more information and additional resources at probe.org/podcast. And be sure to check out our life-changing Summer Mind Games camp for high school and college students.
What does the social media revolution have to do with the church? Dr. Lawrence Terlesesi examines that relationship now on Probe.
Any media that uses two-way communication as opposed to one-way communication is social media rather than mass media, such as TV, radio, and print, that delivers a message to a mass audience. Mass media is not personal, like the telephone or letter writing. It is directed to the crowd or to a particular niche in the crowd that does not allow for the audience to talk back, with some exceptions. Mass media is not social because it does not permit a conversation with its audience. Social media, such as websites like Facebook, Twitter, and the new YouTube Social TV website, allows for dialogue and two-way communication between speaker and audience. It is dialogue rather than monologue. Social media use is not limited to just the popular websites. Any form of electronic communication involving computers and cell phones are part of the social media revolution because these technologies offer the individual the ability to respond. It is estimated that one-third of the world is now connected to the internet. If you have an email address, you're involved in social media. This sizable amount constitutes a revolution in communication because it changes the way we communicate and it changes what we communicate. In calling social media a revolution, we simply mean this is a new way of communicating. It does not mean mass media will be abolished. Media, along with most technological progress, operates in a layering system, where a new layer or technology builds on the old one rather than abolishing it. Mass media begins with the printing press. The telephone, radio, and TV come later. The TV remains the most prominent mass medium. While reading the printed word has not disappeared, it is certainly not as central as it was in the 19th century. The computer adds another layer to our mediums and brings them all together. With about a third of the actual world online or engaged in social media, it is necessary that the church, which is in the business of communication, make sure its message is accurately represented there. But the task is not as easy as starting a new profile page, since there are certain problems that must be addressed as we communicate. Close to 2,247,000,000 people use social media worldwide. This is a remarkable change in just a few years and easily qualifies as a new way of communicating unprecedented in the history of the world. It is a revolution because it changes the way we communicate from face-to-face individual contact to an electronic mediation with certain advantages and disadvantages. We have all heard the saying, the medium is the message. This means the way we say something is as important as what we say, or that the medium affects the content of what is said. Preaching is not unaffected by this principle. Simply because someone preaches the Word of God does not mean immunity to the potential negative aspects of his chosen medium, such as radio, TV, or the Internet. For example, radio or TV is effective in reaching a mass audience, but this usually must come at the expense of the quality of the message. It must be toned down to fit these mediums. The phone itself shapes what you say by how it is said. It reduces communication from all five senses to one, hearing. The results are predictable. The phone reduces communication compared to actually being there. A basic law of media says the wider the audience, the less substantive a message, simply because it must appeal to the common denominator in the general audience. The more people you want to reach, the less of a message you will have, which means keep it simple when it comes to a general audience, so the majority of people can understand it. This is the drawback of instant and mass communication. We sacrifice quality of thought and depth of analysis for instant access to a mass audience and for immediate applicability of a general principle. In other words, we are telling people what to do without reflection, which is time-consuming, slow, and simply awkward. Analysis is meant for the personal level, and mass communication is not personal. The reductionist trend in media can be circumvented to some extent through niche audiences, which many social media sites actually represent. This is a fair reflection of actual communities. What is society but the collection of smaller groups put into a whole? Social media represents a disembodied form of community. This, of course, is the nature of long-distance relationships and communication. The reduction of knowledge to their simplest forms brings with it the sense that knowledge or community is simply information. The gospel can be communicated as information, but it is more than that. The same is true with traditional forms of preaching, books, or even TV. We know, after all has been said, there still remains a side of the gospel that must be experienced or encountered in real people. The gospel must be embodied and not simply read about or talked about. This was the gist of Paul's exhortation to the Corinthians. You are a letter of Christ, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. 2 Corinthians 3, 3-4. We might as well say written not electronically on the transient screen with flickering pixels, but in flesh and blood, and in one-to-one encounters with friends, families, and neighbors. Media, as good as it is, cannot substitute for personal experience of God and fellowship with others. This brings the idea of an online community, church, or school into question. There is no doubt that people communicate effectively this way, even on Facebook, and they can learn through this medium just like any traditional means. But there is a doubt as to how qualitative one's learning or one's community will be if there is no personal encounter. Can long-lasting bonds and relationships form strictly through electronic means? Social media is excellent at giving one a wide audience, just like TV and radio, and even meeting new people. But it is not a replacement for face-to-face contact. Media technology may best be seen as an excellent supplement to relationships and community, but not a replacement. It can be used to stay in touch and keep people connected, but it cannot ultimately replace our community and social network of actual people. I think the goal of an online church should be to get people out from behind the computer and into contact and fellowship with others. Social media can facilitate friendship, but it cannot replace it. We are warm-blooded creatures and need other warm-blooded people to have community, something a computer screen cannot provide. Social media serves as a supplement to community, not a substitute. What happens in Vegas stays on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. Privacy is dead, the computer killed it, and no one cares. Every step forward in technological progress requires a price to pay. We have moved forward in creating social media, which enables us to communicate with a wider audience. But society has paid a terrible price with the loss of privacy. The computer remembers everything. This reality should cause some pause and reflection on what we say simply because it can be potentially recalled and even used against us. Employers routinely check Facebook pages of potential employees. Creditors use Facebook to collect debts. The police use Facebook to find people and build cases against them. We think of social media as fun and games, much like a video game, when in fact it is much more serious. All social media communication, such as email or texting, exists in a nether world between an illusion of privacy and potential public access to anyone. The user falsely assumes his message is private, without realizing it may be available to anyone. Future generations will archive and access all that we say today. Even more seriously, the NSA is currently building a supercomputer called the Utah Data Center, scheduled to go online in 2013, that will monitor all digital actions, including email, cell phone calls, even Google searches. It will be able to track all your purchases electronically. Whatever you do digitally will be available for scrutiny by the government. I know you wanted to hear how great social media is for communicating, evangelism, and so forth, and it is great. But there are pitfalls and dangers that we must also confront. Let's not get so swept up with our enthusiasm for social media that we stick our head in the ground when it comes to the dangers. This is the greatest problem I see Christians make when they analyze technology. They see only the advantages and positive sides of their technological involvement and refuse to consider what may go wrong. It will not create a damper to analyze the potential problems of our technology use. Rather, it will make us sober-minded as we are commanded to be. 1 Peter 1:13, 4:7, and 5:8. Social media does offer a great advantage over the traditional means of mass communication that the church has used in print, TV, and radio. Social media represents a democratization of media, including TV. Mass media is traditionally one-sided communication, or monologue, where one powerful voice does all the speaking, especially on TV. Social media allows for multiple voices to be heard at once and in contrast with each other, allowing for a dialogue and conversation, as opposed to the pedagogy of monologue. This is significant because, as we are told by media experts like Marshall McLuhan and Jacques Ellul, that propaganda is usually the result of only one voice being permitted in a discussion or the absence of dialogue. Much like in a commercial, where only one viewpoint is promoted, McLuhan notes the importance of dialogue with media. He states, "The environment as a processor of information is propaganda. Propaganda ends where dialogue begins. You must talk to the media, not to the programmer. To talk to the programmer is like complaining to a hot dog vendor at a ballpark about how badly your favorite team is playing." End quote. Really, for the first time in history, does the general public have a chance to talk back to the knowledge brokers and those creating information and to those creating faith? A few tell the many what to think through mass media. Through social media, an individual tells the mass what he thinks. Social media offers a multitude of voices on all topics. It may appear chaotic and directionless at times, and at other times, there appears incisive wisdom. Social media reflects the turmoil and sanity of its users. Social media is many things, but unlike its big brother, mass media, social media is not propaganda. The church needs to soberly join this conversation.
This has been Probe with your host, Dr. Lawrence Terlizzese. To get your free copy of Lawrence's script, The Church and the Social Media Revolution, go to probe.org/radio. And join us next time as we help you to think and live biblically here on Pro.
Thank you again to Probe Ministries for sharing their audio commentary with us here on the Social Media Church podcast. And you can connect with us, and we're here all about the conversation and the dialogue at socialmediachurch.net. You can connect with us through the comment here or on Twitter or Facebook or call in on our voicemail line. The number is 949-354-3216. And check the show notes at socialmediachurch.net for a link to the entire article so that you can save it and share it with others. And for those of you listening on iTunes, be sure to subscribe as well as rate and review this podcast so others can join the conversation and add to the social media revolution. This concludes this episode of the Social Media Church podcast, the place for conversations with church leaders about social media. My name is DJ Chuang, and until next time, we'll stay connected online.